talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go, it's a Getaway Friday, Friday, October the 20th, 2023, 19 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WGH Radio, Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig, Scott Spears along with you here for the Exchange. And just to update you, and this is a serious note here. I mean, this is our representative. Representative Jim Jordan was up for Speaker of the House for the third time. The third vote happened in as many days, just moments ago. And the vote is still taking place as we speak. But Representative Jordan lost on Wednesday by 20 votes, yesterday by 22 votes. And today we're already up to 24 and counting at this point. So he's not going to be Speaker of the House today, but there may be a vote tomorrow. You never know. This seems to keep on going and going. Matt, any thoughts?
It might be time for him to just either find a new strategy to gain support or give up overall. He's lost votes in every one of the votes.
And keep an eye out. Is it more than 24 now? The vote was still happening, but he's already 24 down, so there's no possibility of him getting the job this time. What do you think, Pastor Craig?
I say it's time to twist the other arm.
Keep going?
Twist the other arm.
What do you think he's doing wrong here? Even McCarthy was gaining votes as the votes went on.
I'll say what I think on that one. That's because McCarthy was willing to make deals that he maybe knew he couldn't keep, but he was willing to make the deals to get the vote. And
he's up to 25 now.
25 now.
And I would say, you know, that may be the one thing that's hurting Jim Jordan is he's not willing to make a deal if he feels he can't keep it.
I'm with you up to a point. He's probably not making those type of deals. Two things I don't understand, and I want to get your take on this. Number one, the first time he did this, 20 people said no. Okay, so the rest were with him. Why is he continually losing people, not making deals? He didn't make a deal. I assume he didn't make a deal the first time. So why is he losing as time goes on?
I think what's happening is some of those people that he's losing, they maybe voted for him the first time figuring that he would get it and this would be good enough. And then when they saw that he didn't get it and they weren't a very strong supporter of him, they thought, well, he's not going to get it. Somebody else has a shot, so I'm going to vote the way I really feel.
And the second opinion here, and we'll come to you on the phone in just a second. Hang with me. The other question I have is, yesterday he did say, I'm not going to go for this again when he lost votes, when I went from 20 to 22. But then this morning, his people said, he's met with these people. He feels he maybe not made a deal, but he met with them. He felt that he had better standing, and he's lost more. How does that happen?
Well, you know, there's all different things were talked about in the last 36 hours, and so it's really hard to sort out because, you know, there were reports that they were going to make, instead of having a speaker, they were going to go ahead and take a vote on changing the rules to allow McHenry, who's the...
Do you think that did anything when...
There were conversations back and forth about, yeah, we're going to do it, no, we're not going to do it. I don't know. There's just so many things going on, it's hard to tell.
Do you think the monkey wrench came when Speaker Pro Temp came out and said, listen, I'm resigning if you don't give me more power? Which clearly was a jab at Jordan when you do that 15 minutes before the vote.
Well, yeah, and I think it's probably one of seven things that happened.
But do you think there's any way now... I mean, he can... I guess request as many votes as he's want. If he's not willing to compromise or make those deals, is there any way this is ever going to happen?
eventually something's going to happen. I really don't know. But, you know, after the seventh or eighth vote on McCarthy, I thought, well, he's never going to get it. They're going to have to go back to...
But he made deals.
Right.
Do you think Jordan's going to make those deals?
He's not. I don't think he's going to make the same deals, no. I don't think he is.
Herein lies the problem.
Right. Right.
So how are any Republican ever going to get this job?
Remains to be seen.
It remains to be seen. That's where we are. Matt, what do you think? By the way, call in now. We've got time. We lost our caller. 740-383-9944.
I don't know how he proceeded to lose support, because, like, didn't he postpone? He postponed it by a day, didn't he?
No, there was no postponement, but he did say after the vote yesterday, where he lost two more votes than the initial vote, I think he saw the writing on the wall and said, I'm not going to run for this again. But then there were meetings yesterday. That's where I'm confused.
See, I think he said he was not going to run again or take a third vote, because I think at that point he was under the impression that they could get together on giving the Speaker pro tem more powers. And I think he may have felt that that was the better route to go right now, because there's certain things that need to happen. Like the budget thing's coming up in November again.
But why is he so against him? The Speaker pro tem.
I don't know. I don't know what that stems from. I really don't
something,
know.
Something. Yeah. Something happened. All right. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Good rainy afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, what's going on?
A hearing, because on the Bluetooth, the radio itself was so loud, I had to turn it down. So I'm at the gym, of course. Maybe you saw the selfie. So I'll just try to listen real carefully. I don't... On a lighter note, Pete, Craig, I had a question for you.
Okay.
I get the feeling, like myself, you're a Frasier fan, but if you are, or a casual fan, have you seen the new Frasier, the last three episodes?
No, I have not seen it. I've not had a chance to see it at all.
Yeah, I can't hear you, old guys, so I heard you better, Scott, so let me try you. Craig,
he hasn't seen it at all.
Okay, I'm not sure, but... Third episode is not as good as the first two, but it's still worthwhile, because there's really nothing else to watch on TV that's not a repeat. So, any guys who are a casual fan, I would definitely recommend it. So, for you, Scott, you know I'd say this, but obviously karma has bitten Mr. Jordan in the you-know-where. Don't be rude to Scott Spears on the air. Look what happens if you are.
That's exactly right. That's what happened to Representative Jordan. He was rude to me, and it's all come back to bite him in the rear end here today.
I believe in karma. You know, if I could hear Craig, I'd talk to him about it, because, as you know, Craig, I'm not very religious, but I do believe in God. Obviously, you're much more religious, more fundamentally religious, but, you know, karma, I guess it's kind of a non-religious way of saying God will punish you, God will reward you. It's basically what it is. I would imagine you agree. I wish I could hear it, yes, but... I imagine you agree at least partially, but, you know, things kind of work themselves out. But I think in a more serious, analytical note, Scott, Jim Jordan doesn't come across as warm and fuzzy or likable as a man. You know, I agree with him on many issues. I have serious possessions. Again, his rudeness to you is part of the ethical issue. He's just not really a likable guy. Even Nancy Pelosi, she rubbed me the wrong way with her beliefs and what she says, but at least she seems approachable and seems like, you know, someone you could have a cup of coffee with, or you're talking to a human. Jordan just doesn't have that mystique about him, and like him or not, that is going to be an issue. And who knows, maybe, as Craig said, maybe it'll take 20 votes for 20 rounds of voting before he ends up becoming Speaker. But at this point, they need to get to the bottom of this. I guess my question to Scott, since you're the only person that I can hear, since we may, you know, not have a speaker, may obviously we have an issue with the auditor, should we maybe try to find some perfect superhuman who can be both the speaker and be the American auditor? Have the person kind of alternate? Do you think that might be a good idea?
Well, that's what Matt and I were talking about this morning. I mean, I doubt this will ever happen, but you don't have to be a member of the House of Representatives. And I do think it would be interesting if somebody would submit their application, because anybody can do that and apparently call for a vote at this point. What if somebody did that? I mean, why not? I'd be interested to see what happened.
I'm pretty good at math, Scott. Auditor, I'm not sure what it pays, but probably more than my chief boss pays me for what I do now. and Speaker of the House. I'm a good speaker.
You want to be Speaker of the House, Adam?
I don't have to get stuff. I mean, Fetterman doesn't. He's a senator.
Yeah, but that stuff you've said about Jim Jordan, you're not going to get his vote.
Well, that's just one person, right?
Well, it builds. It builds after. You can only lose just a few, Adam. You can only, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I think they would make you wear masks in there.
Okay, well that wouldn't be to my liking. So, would you be up for the job, Scott? If asked, remember when you asked Sherrod Brown, I guess that's how you pronounce it, about being the VP, and he kind of said he might, but wasn't too committal. What if somebody asked you? You said you've had offers from other stations. Has somebody from Congress called you?
What was the question? You went in and out there, Adam. What was the question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Remember when you asked Sherrod Brown?
I got that.
About maybe being VP, and he's kind of not in the middle. Because you said you've had offers, I guess, from other stations. Has somebody from Congress, has Joe or Kamala themselves, called and asked you if you wanted to be Speaker?
Not that I'm aware, but I haven't checked the messages today.
I mean, you have a penchant for getting famous guests on, so why not, right? You go ahead and get somebody important to talk to Congress if it's an important issue you need some official information and feedback on.
Well, I'll see what I can do, Adam. Maybe by tonight I'll have my resume submitted to Congress, and we'll see if I can get a vote cast tomorrow.
Okay, well, that's good. That's all I had for you guys, and I will go back to my workout, and thanks again for a lovely show, and stay dry.
Hey, thanks for listening, Adam. Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. There's a lot of ground to cover there. Somebody from outside of Congress.
You know, I know it wouldn't fly with the Democrats, but there's actually a person that I think could possibly maybe get enough Republican votes that he could be Speaker of the House, and that's Newt Gingrich.
You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. Maybe he would have to get all the Republican votes, because Democrats, no Democrat's going to vote for
right.
him. But I really don't know if he could get those six. I don't know if they'd like him. I don't know.
Well, that would be the one thing.
That would be his only problem. I think he could get the majority of Republicans. Yeah. I think he'd be closer than Jordan is right now.
Right.
But I think he'd be in the McCarthy boat, unfortunately. And who is that? Matt, who?
So,
is the count going up?
No, I was looking at
25.
Newt Gingrich,
former Speaker of the House.
Yeah, and he said that if the Republicans cannot resolve the speakership in the next few days, they may be better off empowering Speaker pro tempore Patrick McHenry to run the House through at least the end of the year.
That could happen.
Which was kind of what they were talking about after that second vote.
But don't they have to get the votes? I mean, didn't Jordan say yesterday he would endorse him?
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to endorse him now after this little bit this morning?
Who knows? Who knows?
Did the number go up? I mean, we're not trying to make a joke. I'm just seriously wondering if what is the ground? What is the final count on this? Because I think the more votes lost are going to tell the tale on if he does try to do this again. Still at 25?
Still at 25.
25, you know, how do you lose 25 of your own party? I mean, I don't know. 25 people in there. Republicans saying no.
It just shows, you know, it just shows that those that disagree are not willing to agree to it just for the sake of having a speaker. Those who disagree are not going to bend.
Doesn't this say something, though? Jim Jordan, I think, is considered at this point a radical member of Congress, clearly, in his own party, certainly the Democrats. Who is a Republican congressman right now who is not a member of that group of six, not a member of any caucuses or anything like that, just a congressperson?
That would be one of the 100 Congress people that you don't even recognize their name when you see it.
So could they get it?
I don't think so.
As long as that six votes against you.
Yeah, I don't think they could.
So they're really not. This is because it looks like what it looks like to me is those no name people, those just middle-of-the-line Republicans are going to lose by six, like McCarthy did, and anybody of that group of six or somebody from the Freedom Caucus, like Jim Jordan, is going to lose by about 20.
Well, you can't. The thing about the six is they actually supported Jim Jordan. So you've got a different group.
Well, that's why it's a different group.
It's a different group.
But right. I think somebody from the six or from the Freedom Caucus, it looks like, is going to lose by between 20 and 25 votes.
Well, see, there are about 70 people in the Freedom Caucus. Now, what I don't know is, again, they've got a lot of members that are names we wouldn't even recognize. And so I don't know if there is somebody in that group of 70 that would actually be a name that people could get behind. I don't know.
But, I mean, we're not even talking about Democrats here. How do you get to a point to where basically you've just got a chasm? Because, yeah, the six voted for Jim Jordan. But that's the same six who got McCarthy tossed out. So, but there are at least 20 who don't want Jordan. Mm-hmm. Different people. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that's what you've got here.
This is politics at its best.
Or its worst.
There you go.
Or its worst. I don't know. I just don't know how that happens. I don't know how, because I've never seen that happen, certainly in recent times, to where there is such that, again, because there is no leader of that party to step in a room right now to say, hey, stop, you know? And essentially, Nancy Pelosi did do that with her own party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She could grab a hold of Cortez, AOC, and say no.
And so they backed down.
They backed down. But there is not even somebody to walk in the room to even have a disagreement with at this point. You know, they just kind of go do their own thing. I'm not saying you have to. And AOC didn't have to agree with Pelosi.
Right.
But who's the adult in the room right now when this is all going on saying, listen, stop.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is this necessarily bad? I mean, use the example of Pelosi and AOC. When she said stop and AOC did, is that a better scenario than what we have here?
No, I'm not saying it's a better scenario, but I'm saying there was somebody there to do it of their own party, which more than likely you're going to agree with that person than somebody of the opposite party mm-hmm. on any issue. It seems like there's nobody who can walk into the room of Republicans with any kind of gravitas. And you can, and I, if AOC had disagreed with Pelosi, I'm saying that's fine too. But there's nobody with any gravitas to walk into the room to say, "Whoa, we're looking really bad here. We need to do something."
Yeah, I think that may be the difference between the Democrats and the Republican Party in general. For instance, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she came from a family that was in the labor unions. And she grew up seeing how, you know, leaders could wield power and get what they wanted. And so that was her style of you know, operating as she moved up in the Democratic Party was, you know, she had a way of, she kept track, I mean, literally kept track of favors owed, okay?
Right, but...
And so, you know, so she would call in those favored owes, and so that's how she got cooperation or got what she wanted. And, you know, maybe there's nobody in the Republicans that can do that because they haven't done it.
But I think there always has been, I guess is what I'm saying. John McCain was that for a while. Not John McCain, he was a senator, but you certainly had Newt Gingrich who was that for a while. Even when he wasn't speaker, he had some gravitas in that party. When they were president, George W. Bush was that. Certainly vice presidents, Dick Cheney could go in there and say, stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly John Boehner was that at one point until he wasn't.
Yeah.
Certainly Paul Ryan ran for vice president, was that until he wasn't. What happened to them? They're all gone now. None of these people are dead, but they're gone.
Yeah. And there's nobody that's in that position.
Nobody has filled the hole.
Right.
And it wasn't only Nancy Pelosi in the Democratic Party. It had been Ted Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
It had been a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it had always been somebody in the Republican Party. I'm just saying, why now is there nobody in the Republican Party to head the room?
Maybe they feel that the days are over where you had one person calling the shots.
But don't we get what's happening now when that happens? Maybe we need somebody to call the shots.
Well, I'm not so sure that what's happening now is necessarily bad.
Well, I don't know. I think the Republicans long term are going to feel it's bad because I think they're looking like a party in chaos.
I feel like there's too much. They've done split too much within their own party to have any actual say so in anything. Because now, like, if one party wants something done, the other party's going to vote against it. If this party wants something done, the other party's going to vote against it.
Well, but what you could do if you're a Republican, all you got to listen. If you're a non-radical Republican, and at radical, I'm just because that's the tag that goes on those six people. Mm-hmm. Call them whatever you want. But they're called radical. Why can't a middle-of-the-line Republican get six Democrats to vote for him? Because the Democrats know they're not going to get a speaker. Mm-hmm. You can't have one of these middle-of-the-line Republicans who can get all but six mm-hmm. go to them mm-hmm. and say, six people?
No. There probably is not a single Republican there that could probably get a single Democrat to vote for them because the Democrats are committed to voting in a block.
But see, doesn't this justify though what I just said? If the Democrats thought this was helping the country and good for the Republicans, they would get somebody in there because they would want to stop the Republicans from gaining momentum. They clearly feel this is making them look bad and they're not giving them an inch. They're hanging them out to dry.
Right.
Right. So back to the point, I think it's not looking good. I think every time they take a vote, it just destroys another Republican.
Probably so.
Not good for the Republic. We need two strong parties. And that's why I say, where's the deal maker? Where's the rule maker? Where's somebody who can come in and just say, you know, this isn't good. Stop the guy from coming out there 15 minutes before and saying, I'm going to resign.
I don't think there is that person.
But why?
Bottom line, what is the most important thing that the Speaker of the House does? That person has control of what comes up for a vote. If they don't like a bill, that bill will never see the light of day.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Because now you've got Republicans that want to make sure that the Speaker of the House is going to pay attention to them when they want a bill.
Hang with me, caller. I just want to make this point here. But isn't that ultimately, really, we have three parties now for the reason you just said? Speaker of the House really has no power except to stop a bill from going to the floor to be voted
right.
on. So essentially, what you have here is the Democrats who are in the minority, which happens to the Republic. It's happened throughout time. So that's a party in and of itself. You got the Democrats who are in the minority, but that really doesn't matter right now. But the problem is you've got almost a Democratic Party in the Republican Party to the degree that you have six, let's say, I'll get 50. You have 50 people over here. I'm going to say six because it was six with McCarthy. You've got six people over here saying, I don't trust anybody else to block votes to the floor, block bills to the floor. And then you've got over 200 other people saying, no, I feel the same way. That's what this is all becoming about. So you've really got now a Republican Party cracked right down the center who don't even trust each other
right.
for somebody to bring the votes to the floor.
Right. They don't trust each other.
So you got three parties.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a problem if they're the party in power.
Well, the longer we're in this battle, there's nothing getting done in Congress, the better off the American people are because nothing's getting done in Congress.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott, Pastor Craig, and Matt. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. I'm in Tennessee. I just wanted to say to you, to this, they just need to put Donald Trump as Speaker of the House and forget about it.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I don't know if he'd get the votes at this point.
You don't think he would? Probably not. That's probably why Jim Jordan's getting it, because didn't he endorse Jim Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're probably right on that one.
But who's it going to be?
I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I guess he's going to go for his third time.
Well, yeah, he did. He's already lost.
Oh, he lost again?
Lost by more this time than the previous two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who could be. Nancy will have to come out of retirement, I guess. I don't know.
How are things in Tennessee?
Oh, it's pretty good. The traffic is horrible in Nashville here, but other than that, everything's pretty good. I ran into some rain back in Ohio and Kentucky, but... Not too bad.
So do you have a suggestion who should marry? It can be anybody.
Yeah.
Got any ideas?
I think Marielle Withrow should be the Speaker of the House.
Well, I'll call her up and see if she'll take the job. see if she's got a couple years free.
Yeah, exactly, right?
All right. Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
Be safe. Bye-bye. All right, Sean Kraft on his way to Georgia in Tennessee right now. I mean... Well, you know what? I don't even know if I want to say this, but...
Say it.
I mean, could somebody like Mary Ellen Withrow...
No.
...go through... No?
No.
You don't think she'd get the votes?
Well, no, and this is nothing against...
She would only have to get 6 Republican votes.
This is nothing against Mary Ellen. It's not personal, but, you know, too many people don't know any... Too many people currently in Congress that have only been there, this is their first term or this is their second term... They wouldn't know her from Adam.
But isn't that a good thing at this particular juncture?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm not going to vote for somebody that I don't know anything about.
No, but she's going to get all the Democratic votes, whether they know her or not.
Right.
Okay, so she's within 7 votes at that point of getting what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
7 Republicans who have no idea who she is might not vote for her?
No, they wouldn't. Now, I'll tell you why. You won't see a single Republican. This is one thing I will say. You won't see a single Republican vote for anybody that's a Democrat because they don't want to be responsible for a Democrat being elected as Speaker of the House, because then you've just ended your term.
But it's not... Now, this is interesting, though, and Matt, I want you to come in on this, but it really all it means, though, is if this did happen, and we're just going to stick Mary Ellen's name in here for the purposes of this conversation, you have somebody who is not going to have a vote. So, essentially, the only thing she's doing at that point is presiding over votes and deciding if legislation gets to the floor or not. That's it. She can't swing a vote one way or another.
No, but you just said what the biggest thing was.
But you think she'd stop a thing? I can't see it. I really can't. I think when you're out of politics and you don't have a vote and you don't have a dog in that fight at that point, why would you hold legislation back?
Because you would disagree with the legislation. If you think the legislation is the exact opposite of your feelings on that legislation, you're not going to let it get up to the floor for a vote.
Matt?
I mean, I think it could be fairly possible. Like,
all you need is 7.
Like, the Democrats, they'll vote for her. But, like, you're telling me that, like, you could do some research on Mary Ellen and see that she's, like, a qualified politician.
Well, she's not a... See, here's an interesting thing about that, is that in her day, she was not a radical Democrat. And, a matter of fact, worked a part of the last administration that did work with the Republicans, the Clinton administration. I think that might be a plus to some Republicans.
So, yeah, if they actually, like, I think if they were to, like, do their research and Mary Ellen Withrow was on the ballot, I think she's got a chance.
She could get the 7?
She could get them.
You know, the New York Republicans, I don't know. When you don't have a person... See, here's the problem. When you don't have a personality that's divisive, because that turns a lot of people off. That's why, let's say you couldn't get Bill Clinton. Not that he'd want the job, but you're not going to get Bill Clinton, even though all the Democrats are going to vote for him. You're not going to get 7 Republicans to do it, because he's got a reputation. Mm-hmm. Somebody like Mary Ellen doesn't have that reputation.
But she's got a D after her name, and you're not going to get you're not going to get a single Republican to vote for anybody that's got a D after their name.
So basically, we are not going to have a Speaker of the House until we have elections again next year.
That would be fine with me.
Let's just shut the thing down.
The country would be better off if Congress took a year off.
Something isn't right. What is there an independent that could get 7 Republican votes?
Probably not.
Are there independents in Congress?
Now, you don't have to be. I'm saying just an independent person who's never went out there and, you know, shut their mouth off, who will put all the legislation on the floor, either way.
Miranda McGinnis.
But would she?
She's an independent.
She is an independent.
You know, I found something, not to change the subject, but I'm going to change the subject.
Go right ahead.
I found something interesting in that interview yesterday where she said she was never a Republican.
Now, I thought that was interesting as well.
Because I could be wrong, but I thought for sure she was represented as a being a Republican.
I thought that as well.
When she was appointed to that office.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But... And so it goes. Time is blowing by here today. Let's get our top 10 list in, because heaven knows I don't want to forget that, because this is very topical. Oh, by the way, I did want to mention that much. Adam has mentioned it a ton of times, this interview I did with Jim Jordan, that, you know, apparently karma, the karma from that whole interview has bitten him now. That interview was done on August 2nd, 2018. So if you want to listen to it, go to the website, WWGH1071.com, August 2nd, 2018, under the Scott Spears section, and you'll hear what happened with Jim Jordan. I don't think he was rude. I don't have that same opinion as Adam. I've said that time and time again, but you'll hear what happened. And
you didn't get a Christmas card from Jim last year.
Not since 2018. We haven't talked since then. But I didn't take it as rude, so, you know, that's showbiz. That's how it all works out, I guess. All right, where's the drum roll on this day? Okay, maybe we got it. I hope we got it. There it is. All right. Today's top 10 category. Oh, great, and here comes a call. Caller, you're going to have to hold for a second. Hold, caller. We got the top. Our call back in about 5 minutes if you can. We're going to a top 10 list. Because we do want to hear what you have to say. Okay. Today's top 10 list is. Let's see if I can find it here. Home office in Columbus, Ohio. Top 10 activities for Sweetest Day, which is tomorrow. Oh, boy. This will be very popular. Top 10 activities for Sweetest Day. Number 10, buy some daisies. Apparently, cheapest flower you can buy for somebody. Number 9, go to Wendy's for a pumpkin spice frosty. Delicious. Number 8, look for groundhogs on the tall grass trail. Hey, there's a date. Number 7, make reservations at the Golden Corral. That'll get something for you. Number 6, enjoy some Hershey's Kisses. Very nice. Number 5, take your date to the Marion Correctional Institute to meet your mother. That's always a popular thing to do on Sweetest Day. Number 4, go to the Harding Museum. Well, why not? Number 3, buy a ball of yarn for Carrington's knitting needles. That's beautiful for Sweetest Day. That'll win her over if nothing else will. Number 2, hang out with your good buddy Matt. Oh, boy. That's how you want to spend Sweetest Day.
And just hope he's not sleeping.
And just hope he's not sleeping. Yeah, if you make a date for 8, he'll be there about 10:30. All right, and the number one thing to do, the number one activity to do on Sweetest Day, watch OSU beat Penn State on television.
Go Bucks.
Well, that might be a far cry at this point. That's not looking very good, but we shall see what happens.
Did you get a game prediction from
No, I did
Buckeye
not.
Guy?
I have not talked to Buckeye Guy today.
Did you get a game prediction for the game they lost?
No, I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks.
Man.
But that's the top 10 list, and we'll have one tonight for big excitement.
24-21.
24, you think that's it?
Yeah.
Ohio State?
Ohio State, by 3.
Ooh. I don't know. Call back in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know. The Notre Dame game.
I always got to root against Ohio State. They just win too much. I don't like it.
What's your prediction?
I'll go 32-24. No, 32-27. We'll go 32-27.
Penn State. Okay. Again, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Okay. Well, what do you think about Sweetest Day? We'll wrap up on that. That's coming up tomorrow.
It's a conspiracy.
I mean, what?
It's a manufactured holiday.
Okay. It's an Ohio thing.
Yeah, because the candy manufacturers weren't selling enough candy leading up to Christmas. It was the worst time of the year, so they tried to, you know, make it a candy day to sell more, and it didn't take off, and then we're going to make it Sweetest Day and sell candy, and then they got, you know, American Greetings to come in on it, and we'll sell more cards, and you'll sell more candy, and now we got Sweetest Day.
Now, tomorrow, we will see proposals. We will see people going away for the weekend. We will see all the pictures on social media. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this loving what this person did for me?
When did this start? Because, like, I hadn't heard
early 1900s.
Really? I hadn't heard of Sweetest Day until I worked at Kroger, and then somebody was buying, like a balloon or something like that that said Happy Sweetest Day. I was like, what is
Sweetest Day? Well, apparently outside of the Midwest, this is not really a thing. Lucky us.
Yeah.
To be here in the Midwest.
Exactly.
I don't even really understand it, to be honest. I don't think I've ever, tell me I'm wrong, but I don't ever remember getting anything for anybody for Sweetest Day. Now, I'm sure I have for Valentine's Day.
Sweetest Day is like an off-brand Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's the generic Valentine's Day. If you're doing anything tomorrow, you're just generic.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna upset some people, but
go right ahead.
I'm not a fan of Sweetest Day. I'm not a fan of Valentine's Day. I'm not a fan of Grandparents' Day. I'm not a fan of honor your daughter and honor your son day that we had, you know, a couple weeks ago, because it's like you say, Scott, if you really care about those people, You need to let them know throughout the year. You know, if you care about your grandparents, let them know throughout the year. Not wait until Grandparents' Day and have that one day. And
that's why I don't like the pictures on social media.
Right.
I don't like that, because it looks like you're trotting mom or dad or your grandparents or your kids out on that day.
Right.
And I think, well, what do you tell them like on Thursday?
And, you know, I feel the same about Valentine's Day and Sweetest Day. You know, hey, if the person's that important to you, tell them all the time.
I love it when they write the messages in social media. I just love blah, blah, blah so much. They are the most amazing person. Okay, tell them. Why do we all need to know this?
Why does it need to be a
If you scroll back enough in their timeline, you'll see who else they were saying was the most wonderful person in the world.
And then 3 years from now, they're going to put that post on there. Well, my divorce was final today.
Exactly. You know, I'll tell you what, social media has created a whole new level of hypocrite in our society. Because you will see posts this week, the most loving, unbelievable boyfriend, husband I've ever had. Guys don't tend to do it as much. In the world, la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da, and go back in their timeline, and I bet you will find that they said similar things about people that they are not even friends with anymore.
Nah, people delete those kind of things now.
No. Leave them up there.
See, a lot of the people that
if you delete those things, you're a bigger hypocrite than I think you are.
I know, you
think that's right?
You can get on Instagram.
You think that's right?
To do what?
Delete that stuff. So you're not a hypocrite?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't personally, but, like, I don't post anything.
No, but if you do that, I mean, that's very hypocritical.
But, like,
I mean, you really have a character defect.
You know somebody's broken up when you get on their Instagram page and all the pictures that they had of them and that person together are gone.
I've never done that. And I've never really spent a lot of time taking pictures with people who I was in relationships with, and a matter of fact, I wouldn't even talk about it now, because now people even think I'm in relationships with people I wasn't in relationships with. But I know I've never done that. I've never went back and deleted pictures of people out. I've never done that. And you know what? I'm not even sure people have done that with me, because I can think of people who I was in relationships with who the pictures are still there. So I don't know that that's always a thing.
I think that's more of like a younger generation thing. I don't think Facebook counts.
Why would you try to erase all your memories with that person, even though you may not be together at the current time?
Right.
Act like they didn't happen?
Ask them, not me.
Well, you know, that's you know what, if you can't get behind flaw.
Back in the day, didn't people used to like burn photographs of people that like that?
Or they would cut
Cut them out of the pictures.
Yeah.
Some people did, but
yeah, but that's a little different, because people weren't going out of their way back then. Well, you can look squinty-eyed all you want to be.
How
that's
is that
a little different?
You delete a whole post versus you go more out of your way to cut a picture in half.
No, I'm saying back in those days when you cut the picture in half, you were just doing that for your immediate family because you didn't want them to see that person anymore. If you have the guts or the gusto or intestinal fortitude to go on social media and tell 2,000 people you love this person, hey, listen, too bad, you did it. That's a little different than taking a picture. And that was between you, the person, and the guy who developed it. Am I right or wrong here, Pastor Craig?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So squint your eyes again.
I think they're the same thing.
No, that's not the same thing. At all. Not even close. And by the way, oh my Lord, this is horrible. Look what Jeff just bought, a Claxton fruitcake.
Cool.
One of our... Oh, my Lord. They're out already?
Yes.
I told you. Beware, society. The Claxton fruitcakes are in. Oh, no. Go ahead, caller.
Save me one, because I like fruitcakes. I can hear you better now that I'm in the car, so 2 minutes of a more whimsical call. The Sweetest Day is a manufactured day by the card companies and the candy companies and God knows what else. We have every day, Scott, is now a day for something. We had International Pronouns Day earlier this week. You can imagine if I celebrated that one or not. At least my funny bone did. I don't ever mention this story, Scott, but on Valentine's Day, I went to a bar in Louisville, and they had one of the greatest marketing ideas ever. You bring a picture of your ex, and they'll shred it, and that's your cover charge. Oh, that was one of the best marketing ideas ever. Of course, I did participate and didn't pay a cover charge. So, but that was like one of the coolest things to do, like an anti-Valentine's Day.
I don't know. I think that's hypocritical. If you liked the person at one point in your life, you liked them. Why do you hate him now? To me, if you hate him, it seems like you still have feelings for him.
You save a couple bucks on cover.
Do you have another picture at home?
It's the internet. I can just print one out. I'll find one.
Listen, like the old saying goes, Adam, love and hate are very close to each other.
There's a thin line between love and hate, like the partially Akron-based band The Pretenders would sing.
There you go.
Exactly.
Thank you, Adam.
Bye-bye.
All right. Pastor Craig, you got a new show coming up here momentarily, 1:15 every Friday, not just today. Tell us about what that show is and what it will be and who's on today.
Well, the show is Study His Word, and what it's going to be is primarily focused on having guests, and there are going to be people who are impacting the community in one form or another.
All right. Go ahead.
And Amanda Grayson is on today to talk about homeschooling.
Oh, very nice. That'll be an interesting subject. To wrap this up with 2 minutes left to go in this particular program, and we'll be on tonight. We'll promo us, Matt. Come on. We don't want to be left for promos here today.
Promo? What do you mean?
Tonight's show.
Oh, okay. From 8:15 to 10 tonight, we'll be doing this Friday Night Live show with me, Scott, and Carrington.
And who knows who else. And Sean's obviously out of the state tonight, so he'll be back next week. Okay. Sweetest Day led to the question, should you delete somebody totally out of your life and every memory and every picture if they were an important person in your life at some point? What do you think, Pastor?
No. No, because you can't erase the memories. You can't erase the impact that they had on your life, whether it was good or bad. I don't know. I think it's kind of a waste of time trying to go and cut out photos and cut people out of photos.
Delete things.
Go back, delete texts, delete photos, delete posts, and it's not worth the effort.
That's silly. I mean, do you really throw the stuff away? Like, if you have a picture at home of somebody that you had when you were in a relationship, do you really toss it?
No. Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, you're doing it and you're venting and you're getting that person out of your life and you think deep down inside that in one way or another you're hurting them. They don't even know you're doing that.
Absolutely. If you throw their stuff away, if you have a picture of them, you have something still for them, because what would drive you to do that? I'm not saying you have to have it on display, but, you know, why would you throw it away? It's a reminder of a good time.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't hold two thoughts in your head. Go ahead, Matt.
I agree. I'd say it's probably a waste of time. Especially like if you burn them or something like that, then I don't understand the point of trying to erase it from your past, because then like I said, it's just a waste of time. What was all the time for?
And honestly, I honestly cannot think of anybody who that's ever happened, because I still see these pictures post up in my memories. You know that memory thing on Facebook? Their pictures will come up, so I know they haven't deleted them. So they're still there. So,
Tanya, that's because it's Facebook. Get on Instagram, all of a sudden...
I never did that.
Somebody breaks up and there's no pictures of them on their Instagram page anymore.
You know, actual pictures that you have, what I have done... I do keep them. I don't throw them away from past relationships. I set them out every Halloween. That's a good way to part.
Beware.
Beware of what could happen. Scares a lot of people. Scares me, that's for sure. All right, let's bring this one in for a landing. Pastor Craig, we're not going away live. Pastor Craig's coming up at 1:15 here live with Study His Word, and we'll be back tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m. For this day, rainy, rainy day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Ideas and thoughts back and forth on the day and different things going on. I invite you to join in and listen and talk over the air with us. Just call in 383-9944. We would love to hear from you, and we'll hear you on the show.
Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Scott Spears every Friday morning here on WGH Talk from 9.